All right. Let's go to Matthew 8. Verse 5. Now, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you. You know, if people would just study the Bible instead of just listening and letting things just be handed down to them like little birds with their mouths open. If they just read the Bible for themselves, they could find out some truth instead of. Amen. Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So right now we are working, the things we're working on here in Victory Church would be our goals of prosperity, healing, health, healthy relationships. Now, all of these things make us better witnesses. All of them do. If you're doing well, people know you're serving a good God. They're interested. Amen. You may look around nowadays and you'll notice not many people are interested in religion. They're not really interested in, you know, just trying to earn something by rules. They want relationship. And so we're interested in these things because we want to see the kingdom of God move throughout the earth. And we want to keep covenant with God. He wants you to have a good life. And so we've established by scripture that God's desire, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. So we have scriptural proof of this. You know, I'm always surprised at people that just spout off things. They just spout off things when they've never really studied the word. When you're out of order over there at Victory Church because you have a woman pastor. Well, I don't think they really studied that. They're just spouting that off because I don't know what they feel about women. But if they'd go find out what those scriptures really meant, they might find out that there were a lot of leaders, even in the Jewish days, but they don't bother. Or they'll spout off, God doesn't heal everybody. Well, why don't you read the Bible? Because that excuse of him not healing everybody is some way to put the blame on him so the blame won't go on us. Boom. That's just the truth. And because Peter said that God went about healing, Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So as people are spouting off all these things and sitting under these people who are putting down the faith message or the Holy Ghost message or women preachers or whatever, when they haven't really, they're living under religion. Religion, tradition, and they really haven't gone and studied it themselves. So being a woman preacher, I've actually had to go back and look at a whole lot and learn a whole lot to know if I was in the will of God, because I don't want to be out of the will of God. I am in the will of God. And so are you. Now, so, and you know, there's more and more people that aren't stupid anymore. They're not ignorant anymore. I say both this time. Okay. Now, so what we're doing is we're looking at faith, hope, and love because they all work together. And today our major focus is going to be on faith. So we're working on faith. And church, I want you to know this, that if you school yourself, you can school yourself into great faith. But you've got to do it. You're not going to get it just from one sermon.
Right.
So this centurion actually gives us some insights here. The simplest definition of faith is to act like the Bible's true.
There you go.
Just act like the Bible's true. And I want you to notice in verse 10, this is what it said, the scripture we read a minute ago. It said, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled and he said to them, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now, there was two times in the Bible when Jesus marveled. The first time he marveled, he was marveling at unbelief because he went back to his hometown and this is how ignorant they were. Isn't that Jesus? He's our cousin. He can't be a preacher. That's the attitude they had. They're like, he's the carpenter's son. What, you know, what's going on here? And so the Bible says he could only heal a few sick people. And the scripture says there that he marveled because of their unbelief. And you know what he did? He went about the villages teaching. He went circuit preaching after that to try to bring people's levels up and teaching them certainly the kingdom of God. But this is what's his main preach, okay? The Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me. That's what Jesus was preaching, the anointing. He was preaching the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So, that's what he did. So, you know, your faith can't go beyond your knowledge of the Word. That's why people don't believe a lot of truths, because they don't have any knowledge of the Word. And they just look at a scripture and they don't look at the culture. They don't look at anything that's going on, around what's being taught. They just simply, look at flat King James words and they're just, you know, doing whatever. Now, so, the two kinds of unbelief, that first one was ignorance because you don't know. So then Jesus is teaching them so they will know, and then faith comes by hearing. Listen, unbelief is curable.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can cure unbelief, you can cure anything.
That's good.
So every breakthrough in faith comes from a breakthrough of revelation. Sometimes I'll watch your faces and I'll say something and you'll go, oh, you just got a revelation and that cured some unbelief in your life. Praise the Lord. And then you find that on your own. You're looking around. The second kind of unbelief is disobedience, stubbornness, and lack of persuasion to act on the word of God. Now, we see this with the children of Israel when they were going into the promised land. They already knew this was the promise. They knew God brought them to this place. Moses brought them over there. He wasn't going in, but for various reasons, kind of like this. But they're going to go in there, but they know they could go in there, but they refuse to because they don't like how they're going to have to go, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
So, but what we see there is that they were supposed to get to go in. So the cure here would be to be persuaded to obey and act on God's word, because faith without corresponding action is dead. So once again, the simplest definition of faith is to act like the Bible is true. Okay. And so, thank you, Lord. Do I want to say that right there? I think I'll hold off. The second time that we see Jesus marvel now is with the centurion. Why? Because the centurion understood, man, there's a lot of traffic in here today. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus that we can settle down in here.
Yes.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so what we see here, Jesus marveling at the centurion, is that he understood authority. So he knew that if Jesus spoke the word, that it was just as good as Jesus going to the place.
Yes.
Amen? That Jesus himself, just let that sink in for a minute. The word is just as good as Jesus being there. The word is just as good as Jesus being there. Listen, church, This is so important. The preaching of the resurrection is just as powerful to the spirit world as the event of the resurrection itself. Yeah. Satan trembles. Yeah. When you talk about Jesus raising from the dead, he doesn't like it. That's that same power coming out your mouth. When you speak about it, it's just as powerful as if, as when the event itself took place. Y'all get that? So, you know, you have to understand that God has tied himself irrevocably, to human cooperation. In the execution of divine purposes. They're not just going to happen. Well, I wish God would do this. I wish God would do that. No, it's about that little thing under your nose. You're going to have to say something. I'm going to help you with some of that today. So, but you can't get away from that. He has made man's faith the determining factor in the work of redemption. You had to have faith to get saved. You had to. So you have to have faith to get healed. You have to have faith to prosper. You have to have faith to get your harvest. You have to have faith that people will come into the kingdom. You have to have faith that your ministry will do something. You have to have faith to take on your next project, get promoted to the next. All those things, you'll have to have faith. So God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as his word in his mouth. So the moment you act on God's word, he makes himself responsible for the results. That's why I keep telling you, please don't stand there and be quiet during worship. Because once you start worshiping God with your mouth, he starts moving. I don't feel the presence of God like y'all do when I worship, because you got your mouth closed and your hands down and you're just too proud because you might look silly or something. Pride cometh before the fall. You're going to miss out on what God has for you. So it's the same thing with the word in your life. I'm marveled at our 9:40 meeting of the people that stand there and look at me while we're praying and they don't open their mouths. And I think, do you think God's moving for you? You have to say something. I'm not trying to be critical of you. I'm just trying to help you. You have to. And church, your flesh doesn't want to. When the alarm went off this morning, I was like, let them play a tape today. I won't stay. We all feel like that. It's not like we're on some, we just have made a choice. What we did was we made a choice 30 years ago. A quality decision. I will worship God. I will open my mouth. I will confess. So if you'll make that quality decision, you'll do it. And once you do, you're going to be really happy. Okay, I'm preaching way too much here today. All right, so the centurion there. So now here's it. So speaking, let me just say that once again, speaking is the initial act of faith. It's the initial fact of worry. Right? Act, I'm sorry, not fact. It's the initial act of whichever way you're going to go. Now, so the second time we see Jesus marvel. So the first time is at unbelief, right? Y'all got that? And there's two unbeliefs. Ignorance and then disobedience. Okay. Now, the second time that we see Jesus marvel is with this centurion. Once again, that's what we're talking about here. And we are understanding that the power that came out, you say like, well, you're being redundant. I'm doing it on purpose. I want you to get this. It's because of what he understands that the word of God coming out of the mouth will change things. Okay. I just wanted to go back there for just a second. Faith is voice activated. So your voice is your address in the realm of the spirit. How many played Marco Polo in the pool? Okay, so you know one person's blindfolded or whatever. Marco Polo, Marco Polo. And so in order to find that person in the pool, you've got to listen for Polo. That's what the angels and God are doing. That's what the realm is doing. They don't know your address if you don't say something. I sure wish the Lord would give me the money for my college money or this money or that money or buy me a new car or whatever. But you ain't saying anything. You're just wishing. You're just hoping it ain't going to happen. At least not from God. Amen. You got a polo. Praise the Lord. So, you know, science has discovered that the speech center exercises dominion over the whole nervous system. Yeah. Now, different body parts will respond with stimuli to the corresponding different parts of your body. But when the speech center is stimulated, the entire central nervous system responds. So it is actually the most powerful system that you have. Amen. Now, so this means that if someone says, I'm weak, I'm weak, then I'm not. You hear me? That when they say that, it sends messages to your body. Prepare for weakness. Prepare for weakness. Perhaps that's why God said, let the weak say I am strong.
Yes,
so this is what, we even have a little song. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We just go around saying that. It's like, you two are so goofy. Well, praise the Lord. We're all so healthy and well and prosperous. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, you know, I mean, so that's our life for corny songs anyway. I'll sing you our dog song one of these days. Praise the Lord. I don't have any cat songs. All right. Now, praise God. You can have what you say. All right. Now, so James 3:2, listen to this. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, this is the Bible talking. Okay. Actually, James made it clear. If we read the whole thing, we'll see that the tongue controls not only the body, but the destiny and the quality of our lives. Let me just read it to you. And this is a different version. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If we could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. That's true. You're like, well, hey, you can. You just start saying it and it'll get better. Are any of us talking perfectly? Obviously not. But can we get better and get closer? Obviously, yes. Things can get way better. Amen. As you go along, you might not need to have the curb bit. Maybe you can trade it in for a snaffle bit. Anybody know what that is? Amen. A few people. And then I rode my horse with something called a hackamore. He didn't even need a bit because he'd just do what I told him to do. Amen. So, but this says if you put a bit in his mouth, in other words, if you'll put the right thing in your mouth, you can control your destiny and your body. Amen. Here's 1 Peter 3:2. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You know, one of the first things the doctor does when you go to visit him is he looks at your tongue. Stick your tongue out. Okay. So it's the same way with God when you have a problem. He says, oh, well, I see the problem. It's written right here on your tongue. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, church, our words are going to make us or break us. They determine the boundaries of our lives. The boundaries can limit or loose us. Amen. Stubborn, hard, uncorrectable people that want to keep themselves limited say things like this. Well, I don't believe that. Well, we didn't learn it that way. Well, I can. Instead of going, you know what, Lord, you show me. You show me whether that's true or not. I don't expect one person in here to believe everything I say except for Avery. I need for her to. No, I'm kidding. But I do expect you to go look in the Word.
Absolutely.
Find out if it's true. You can probably tell by the scriptures I've read that what I'm telling you today is true. See, you know, God gave Adam dominion in the beginning through the power of the spoken word. That's what he gave him. Dominion is still true. And then the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, said that by your words you shall be justified and by your words you shall be condemned. So the first Adam and the last Adam are both saying the same thing. Words will get you. What you want or what you really don't want. And interesting enough, when I think about what Jesus said, by your words you will be justified or condemned, I also think about just the fact of you opening your mouth and judging other people.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Quiet in the church.
All right. Now, so Jesus gave us a revelation of how speaking by faith works. Guess where? Mark 11:23. He said, whosoever shall say, whosoever. How many whosoevers are in the place? How many whosoever? See, you're here, right? Shall have whatsoever you say. So you're going to have whatever you say. Church, listen to me. God changes your world by touching your mouth. That's how he does it. Anytime God wants to change a life, change a nation, change anything, he finds someone and he changes their mouth. He's like in the business of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's what he's doing. Think about Isaiah. I'm going to put a coal of fire on your mouth. Isaiah was like, I don't know what that is. And God just put that in there, and Isaiah prophesied. He changed people. He changed nations, and he's still changing us today.
Amen.
We quoted him earlier today. We almost always quote Isaiah. Who's not quoting Isaiah? Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah and all the prophets, how do prophets work? Words.
True.
Words. And you're the prophet of your own life, as I tell you just about every week. Now, so change your world before us. Now, Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. If you go dig, now you have to dig. You're going to find out it really said speaking spirit. He's living soul means speaking spirit. You are, God is a speaking spirit. You're a speaking spirit. What does that mean? It means you're a spirit that needs to open its mouth if you're going to get something done.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to have dominion by the words that you speak. So your voice, your words, church, please hear this, are not just for communication. They're for creation. So you want to watch out that you don't just show up and say, oh, me and my boss. Me and my boss, oh no, me and my, we're at odds, me and nobody likes me at work, You're sowing some bad seed.
Yeah.
The better thing to say is, you know, I love my boss, go to your closet and pray for him and get a hold of that. Take dominion over that. You're saying what's happening. You don't want to say what's happening, you want to say what you want to happen.
Yeah,
but you know, I need to get this off my chest, really? Maybe not. Maybe you're just causing it to recharge and go on further.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. No rehearsing problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when you actually speak what God spoke, the word of God, you're putting on the power. I need to say this before we go into this next part here. You're putting on power when you do that. Satan hates it. There's a constant war going on for airtime in the spirit realm. Okay? And he wants to stop God's word coming out your mouth. When you're sitting there not saying anything, it's obvious to me that Satan's got you. In the most subtle, little bitty, one monkey imp way. All he needs is one little imp to sit on your shoulder and say, You're too tired to open your mouth. You don't need to say anything. What if you say something and it embarrasses you? Blah, blah, blah. What if you say something and it's wrong? Well, here's something to say. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written that we do not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And now it's proceeding out of my mouth. I'm going to listen to this myself. Thank you, Jesus. This helps me. We all need this all the time. Now, so your voice is your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Your voice is. Numbers 14:28 said, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you." As truly as I'm alive, God is saying, whatever I've heard you say, it'll be done. Now, if you'll notice here, Lord is in big L-O-R-D. The system that has already been set up, the kingdom system, the system running, when it picks up what is being spoken, it's either going to do the kingdom part or it's going to withdraw and darkness will do. Because God doesn't do darkness. But he will actually be pulling back. That's the way the system works. So when they said, you know, well, we're just not able, God's like, well, okay, right? They said, we're not able. So the power drew back. But Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. See, they won the word war. They won the word war and they went into the promised land. Win the word war.
Yes. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've been framed? You probably heard it on TV, you know.
Wow.
You know, somebody framed me. I've been framed. Well, actually, you're framing. You're framing your life. You're framing your own life. The worlds were framed with words. So you're framing your own worlds. I'm sorry, but my mind ran to something else and I'm checking in on the Lord with that. But lying is wrong words. They may not sound wrong, but they are. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I did. But you didn't. But that would be a lie. So that's not a good place to go either. I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. All right. So faith always consists of spoken word of God. F.F. Bosworth, remember him?
Yeah.
Jesus the healer. He said, it's impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing you're not sure that God is offering. So you got to believe and you got to speak. And you can't go boldly somewhere and possess something that you don't realize or you don't know it's available. So if your confession is wrong, your thinking is wrong, your confession is wrong, your thinking is wrong, you got to change that up somewhere. So you begin to speak the word of God till you believe it. That's why we do the confession stuff. We're talking out loud because you believe you before you believe anybody else. Deb drove her daughter to school in the early days, and on the way to school, they had the same confession. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. I can remember it. It was said so many times. Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. She goes to the university of her choice. Gets a full scholarship, da-da-da-da, and other things. Well, Jesse found favor in the sight of God and man. She got a full scholarship to the University of Texas. Don't throw anything. Her husband's an Aggie. She found favor. She not only found favor, but she walked out of UT with a job.
Yes.
In I believe it was MetLife at the time. She went to MetLife and she began to work for an insurance company and found great favor. Rose up, ended up over at Blue Cross. Mm-hmm. And now I can tell you there's these kind of initials on her name, VP. Now, don't tell me it didn't start in the car with mom, because it did. Because she's found favor all the way up the ladder. And she does all these other things too that are really cool for the city of Dallas and fundraisers and all kinds of stuff. Why? Because she found favor. Because she walks in the room, favor is on her. Praise God. And those words that were spoken that many years ago, because she's probably getting to be around for, you know, for 40-ish, you know. She's probably getting around that age. They're still working today.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So whatever you guys get Avery saying, whatever you guys get Ivory saying, whatever Art and Amanda get Gabe saying. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure they can refuse it if they want to, but hopefully they wouldn't refuse the good words.
Right.
They could change your life forever. Ever. Yes. Amen. Amen. They're all on the front row. That's why I'm using them as examples. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Glory to God. All right. When you speak God's word, I want you to think about it like this. It'll tear down, it'll root out, and it'll build and plant your world. Sometimes things need to be torn out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to get rooted out, and then you can build on top of that. Amen. So, and listen, we each have a custom picture. All of us have a custom picture. What Avery's life can be very different than maybe what Debbie Clark's daughter's life is like. They have a different picture. My life turned out very different than my brothers and sisters. I do a totally different thing, but we're all walked our paths. The important thing is to walk your path that God has for you, and He'll show it to you. But it starts with rooting some stuff out and moving ahead in the good stuff. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, if you didn't hear anything else I said, ladies and gentlemen, dun, 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 I'm going to tell you something very, very important. And everything that I said will just come clear to you and come clear to you for your faith in these last 10 minutes. Okay? Please turn to Mark 11:23. You're like, "Oh, pastor, I'm gonna, if I was a betting woman," which I'm not, because God doesn't like losers. I would bet that 3/4 of the people in this room do not know what I'm about to say about Mark 11:23. Even though some of you have been sitting here with me for over 20 years, you're going to hear something you probably have never heard. All right. All right. You excited? It's going to happen. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them." So Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall say shall believe those things which he saith, he shall have what he saith." Now, Jesus told Brother Hagin that he would have to, you all know this part, that you have to preach 3 times more teachings on the part of speaking part of faith.
Yeah.
Because there's the believing and the speaking, right?
Right.
You have to believe something and you have to speak something. But he told Brother Hagin, you're going to have to teach more on the speaking than you are on the believing. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay, so it would behoove you to know some of these things because we know that faith is released into action by speaking. And if you're silent, you're going to lose by default.
Yeah.
So there are 3 different Greek words here in this scripture. Say, the first one, is the Greek word epo, and it means command. So this shows the authority of the believer. Got it? Okay. Come on, this is good. This isn't just like, we gonna just say something here. Excuse me for putting on Texas. That's where I was raised. Okay. Epo. It means command. Number 2, the word saith, or how it looks in the King James, okay? That's the Greek word leleo. And you got to dig for that one, but it's there. It means to speak out with your own voice and be bold. So epo's command, leleo, is speak out with your own voice and be bold. Your own voice. And be bold. Okay? So that's the second word. The third word is the word lego. Now, lego means systematic discourse. Okay? So when you go to the toy store, you go online and you buy Legos. Anybody play with Legos? Amen. You set your box up there and you start building the diagram that's on the box.
Yeah.
That's a systematic discourse. You're going to build Lego Zoo. You're going to follow the discourse of it, or Lego airplane or whatever it is you're doing. You follow that discourse. So, the Bible has given you a set of building blocks to frame your world according to the diagram that God has given you. Now, so you have be bold. Well, you have authority, the command. You have use your own voice and be bold, and then use a systematic discourse. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you want the mountain to move, you're going to have to use your authority, and you're going to have to do it boldly, and you're going to have to do it systematically.
Wow. Wow, that's so good.
That's the foundation. It's good, isn't it?
That's so good.
And you thought you knew everything about Mark 11, 23. Just think in the next few years, we'll find other things in there. Isn't that cool? Because it all goes on and on and on. So, you frame your future with words coming out of your mouth. But you don't just, it's raining. But you don't just grab hold of the Lego part. Come on. Don't just grab hold of the Lego part. Grab hold of the whole thing. You have authority. Well, I don't feel like I do. I don't care how you feel. It's what you know the word said about you. That church, this is what half the church is missing. They don't think they have any authority. But you have authority over the darkness. And you need to use it. More and more people are understanding that authority. And so there must be an authoritative command launched boldly with the right Lego words. The dominion, the boldness, and the systematic set discourse. That's why I always tell you that Jesus was launching an authoritative command from his spirit. I always tell you that when Jesus said to the fruit tree, what he said to the fruit tree, and it withered at the roots and died, he was using his authority boldly, right? And systematically, with those nine words, he was telling it what to do. Now, you have a whole Bible full of words that can help you use the systematic discourse. A whole Bible full of confessions. Not to mention, there's 3,500 confession books for sale out there. Command your morning, creative power. Everybody's got something, a devotional. Now speak this out. And most of them are good.
Yeah.
Most of them. Mm-hmm. You got to watch it. But just commanding your day, commanding your morning, commanding that you want the mountain to really move.
Yeah, come on.
Then use your authority.
Amen.
And say it boldly. That's what importunity is. That's what that woman who went to see the judge, that's what she was using. She wasn't going, could you please, could you please, could you please, could you please. No, she was saying, I want something done.
Yeah.
She's shameless boldness is importunity. She's shamelessly bold. You can be shamelessly bold against the enemy.
Yes.
And get rid of the mountain. Or you can be shamelessly bold and let the spirit realm, the angels of God, God himself, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, know what you want.
Yes,
And I'm going to go a step further with you on that. You can tell things what to do. Because everything's vibrating and ready to move to your pleasure. Do you receive this today? Thank you, Lord. So when we say, let the weak say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I boldly declare that I have enough finance to give to every good work that God wants me to give to. And I also have enough money to sleep on a good mattress in the air-conditioned house. Amen. It's like you guys are like, oh, we've done that all our lives. Yeah, but some people haven't. Well, when I was your age, I had to walk in the snow all the way. Oh, wait, it doesn't snow in Texas. Actually, I had it pretty good. I lived in all the good stuff. But I'm telling you, wherever you are right now, you can map it out and change it. But it's not going to be, well, I sure do hope the Lord will do something. Well, I sure do hope he will. I tell you, things are really bad over at the job. No, it's going to be you putting your foot down and saying, look, world, I'm getting this. I'm doing this. I'm finding favor. My speeches will be the best. I'll be heard the best. I'll be whatever it is that y'all do, wherever it is you're going. I'll play the best basketball. I'll do whatever. You're saying it. You're doing it. You'll have what you have. I'll be the best. There's nothing. You're doing it for God. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you're going to go out there and brag about that you're so wonderful, that might be a problem. But we're doing this for God. We're doing this for the kingdom of God. I refuse to be sick all my life. You should start saying that. Sickness, get out. I refuse to be someone that everybody wants to fight with. And then you might want to work on that on your end too. Praise the Lord. You get this?
Yes.
Voice activated. What's the three? What are the three things you need to, what are the three words? What? Command, authority, command. Boldness and systematic discourse. Say it with certain words when you get, you know, so this is a systematic discourse right now, okay? I'll just tell you one. In the name of Jesus, from my high seat of authority, I declare today there will be no tragedy. There will be no accident. There will be no sickness, disease, perversion, invasion, inflammation, insurrection. That's me using my boldness to stop any darkness that could come in to this day. Got it? That's what we're doing. I have multiple rivers of income. These kinds of things, and say it to yourself. So, now, you know, religious people think this is shallow, but I'm going to say it to y'all. You've heard me say this, and I'm going to close with this. I've said this many, many times, that when we started out, we're just learning this stuff. It's, you know, early 90s, like 90. And so we're learning, well, 87, in 87 and 88, we were kind of hitting this. And I said, I did not know I was starting a discourse, but I thought, you know, I'm just going to practice and see what happens. And I started saying, my pockets are filled with $100 bills. My pockets are filled with $100 bills. And I had a rhyme going to it. My pockets are filled with, I just thought I would just do it to waken my senses, because I'm going to be real honest with you. I didn't have any $100 bills back then. I didn't even have a 20 in my pocket. Okay, I might have $5 maybe, so we could go to Taco Bell, and then that was it. I mean, there was no nice restaurant. There was nothing. I had a Volkswagen Rabbit or something. It was, you know, it was just, yeah. But I, no, by then I was upgraded some. I had a Ford Ranger. But anyway, so by then... So I'm saying this. I'm just saying this just so, to try to teach myself, because I didn't know all the scriptures. Yeah. I learned all the scriptures somewhere else, and it wasn't those. So, but I'm trying to learn. So, but then I knew that 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I knew I was a giver. So I know if I got a $100 bill, I'd have something to give away. Yeah. And then there's the struggle when you only have $5 all the time, but you can do it when you learn that you're a giver for life.
Right.
Okay. So. So someone comes and knocks on my door. My friend Vicky, she comes over and knocks on the door. Hey, Rox. I don't know why. Now Vicky called God the big one. This is how we talk to each other. The big one told me to come over. You know, she would have said that. But at the time, she just said, I don't know why, but I feel like I need to give you $100. Give me that. Thank you. Now, that's the way me and Vicky were. We were playful, playful friends. And then my brother-in-law comes over. Same thing. And $100 bills began to fill my pocket. Why? Because my receiver got open because I was commanding something. So get over this thing. Now I don't really do that today, use those words. But you could. I mean, ask the Lord about it. Say what the Lord says to say about it. But that was teaching me something when I was young in this, that I could have what I say. That's what God was doing. He was teaching me that. And then I could take that $100 bill with me to the meeting I was going to, and I'd have something to give. See?
Yeah.
So, say what you want.
Yeah.
Say what you want. Command it. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, I don't know about bossing God around. No. This is not bossing God around. This is pulling out of the kingdom. God, you don't need to boss God around. He's already given it to you.
Yeah. There you go.
You don't have to say, Lord, help me. I need $50. No. In the name of Jesus, I'm a tither and a giver. I'm putting my faith out right now for a new mattress. And I really have enough money to buy one, but I decided I'll have fun. So I'm putting my faith out. I'm going to sow a seed for that mattress. And I'm going to believe God. I think it's about $2,000. And so it's 2007, I think. So I'm going to believe God for that.
Amen.
And have fun watching it come in. Practice it. Use it.
Yeah.
And then talk to your body. When you're swallowing all those vitamins, 65 and older, 55 and older, swallow on those vitamins. Start saying how strong you are.
Well, that's good.
Amen. Father, we pray for the internet audience in the name of Jesus. We thank you that they are healthy,
Yes. That
they're wealthy, that they're blessed,
Yes. That
they're a good witness for Jesus, that their characters are strong.
Yes.
That's another thing you can say. I have strong character. I do the will of God. I'm not a selfish person. Those kind of things. Amen. It's not just about getting money in. That's just an example. But Lord, I thank you for blessing their lives. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.